All of this is well understood. Business press, let's go to Caterpillar and the Decatur strike. The business press has pointed out that Caterpillar, I'm quoting, is pursuing a business strategy that has nudged workers from defiance to compliance. Well, how'd they nudge workers from defiance to compliance? The technique was to build excess capacity in other countries, like, say, Brazil or Japan or Eastern Europe and so on, which means that when you have a strike in Decatur, you can supply your markets by overproduction elsewhere. That's alongside of hiring scabs and temporary workers and so on and so forth. Same is here. One of the big manufacturers left here is Gillette, and they have informed the business press that they are doing exactly the same thing. They're building excess capacity, even in Germany, which has a strong labor movement, hence much better wages and much lower working hours and more benefits and so on. So they're willing to do that. They are not for profits, but for class war. So they'd like to have an excess labor capacity in high labor, high wage places for the purpose of class war, because as they explain, quite frankly, if there's a strike in Boston, they can supply European and American markets from their excess capacity that they've produced over there. There are other devices besides globalization and straight criminality to try to beat down the pampered Western workers. One of them was actually illustrated in headlines in the papers, Globe and the Times, 2 or 3 days ago, when they said bonds surge as unemployment rises and growth falls. If you read the papers, you notice right in the front page now, nobody conceals it, that the thing that is most worrisome is when unemployment goes down and growth goes up. But when unemployment goes up and growth goes down, then the bond market surges. And that's very important. There are by now like around $1 trillion a day that circulate around in currency markets, speculating against currencies. And they're looking for low growth low growth and low employment. They want stable currencies, meaning no threat of stimulation and growth. So they're delighted when the pampered Western workers are beaten down more and growth goes down and so on. This is a big change in the last 20, 30 years, and a huge weapon in the hands of those who are trying to drive the world into a sort of a third world picture, including by now the leading industrial societies like us. Back in 1970, when this process began, before the deregulation of currencies, about 90% of the capital in international transactions was related to the real economy. It was for investment or trade. About 10% was speculation. Those figures have radically changed. By 1995, it was 5% related to the real economy and 95% speculation. That's a huge change, besides which the amount has just zoomed astronomically. That's why 25% of the corporate recruiters at MIT now are from Wall Street. They're going after hotshot PhDs in physics and math, who they don't know anything about business, but they just have to be able to figure out clever techniques for robbing people with all sorts of complicated scams. So you can shift money around, you know, every microsecond, a couple of billions of dollars, to undercut currencies here and there and so on. That's 25% of the recruiters right now for physics and math mainly. The same thing's happening in England, incidentally. They're going after Oxford and Cambridge PhDs in math and physics.